Good afternoon, guys.
Amen.
Great to be in here, isn't it? Man, I say this every time I'm up here. Better is one day in the house of the Lord than 1,000
elsewhere.
Absolutely. And the joy that comes from just being in the room with a bunch of guys seeking God just blows me away. And with that in mind, I got to confess that this one's really tough to talk about for me. Because I get to talk about fatherhood. It's my passion. And I've had the privilege getting to speak at Huddle a time or two before. But it's different when you get to talk about something compared to something that's talking about the way you live. And fatherhood is the way we live. This is the way we change lives. This is the way we change families and communities. And so I feel very underqualified to stand up here and talk about fatherhood. But thank goodness the message is not about me. It's not about me and how I've done or the standard that I set for my kids. It's about how we live according to God's standard and what He calls us to do. And so that's my prayer today, is that that's the message that you hear. The message is that this is what God calls you to be as a dad, and how you doing living up to it. So imagine this. You sign up for a class, and you walk into the classroom, and the professor says, "All right, we're here for the semester. I'm going to be here every day. I'm going to be lecturing. Here's your materials. You can read them if you want. Here's the homework. You can do homework if you want. You can come to class and hear the lectures if you want, but if you don't, I'm not taking attendance. But there will be a test. There'll be a test at the end of the semester." This past fall, our oldest son was going 10 and a half hours away to college. And I felt like, as a father, I felt like that fatherhood class, it was the night before a test. The disturbing thing is there's no cramming for that test. If the night before a test, my son's going off into the world on his own, and I'm scared to death. I'm looking back thinking, what? Did I go to class? Did I do the homework? Did I take notes on the lectures? And like you guys, if you start doing that, you go, well, I went to most of the classes. I read most of the homework, but I could have done better. I could have done better. And so, I'm scared to death. It's the night before the test, and I realize there's no turning back. It's a day-to-day process. John Tice, if you ever get an email from him, he always puts great little sayings at the bottom of his email. One of them says, "A successful life is nothing more than a string of successful days. And as such, make every day count." Does that apply to fatherhood? Absolutely. We don't want to miss any opportunities with our kids. We got to make every day count. And so even though I'm unqualified to talk to you guys and try to even attempt to instruct about fatherhood, because I've had a lot of failures, and I'm going to keep failing, but there is one thing that I have not failed at as a father. I have not failed to try. I try. I work at it. And fatherhood, it takes hard work and it takes effort, doesn't it? You have to be intentional about it. And our scripture today is Ephesians 6:4. I want to read it to you, and it's on the outline, but I want to read it to you in context. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Here's what I hear and see when I read that passage. I see God going, "Hey, my child, obey your parents. This is the right thing to do, and there's a reason for it. There's a reason I want you to obey. You'll be blessed if you obey. And he stands up and he looks at us, and with almost a warning tone, he says, "Dad, don't exasperate your children." And he explained the reason to the child so that you can live long and you can be blessed. He expects us to know why we shouldn't exasperate our children. He doesn't explain that. He just tells us not to do it. Because one of the hard things to realize is that as a dad, we are God to our children. We are God to our children. We have the power. You have the power to heal boo-boos, to mend broken hearts, to police slumber parties. You have the power to ground them forever and to love them without limits. And our children are going to form their opinion of the true God based on how we treat them. And so, pick up the mirror and look at it, because if your behavior as a father doesn't reflect the God of the Bible, you're running the risk of derailing your kids. You run the risk of derailing your kids' eternity. It is way too important for us to take shortcuts and lighten up and take our foot off the gas. Absolutely can't do that. He tells children to obey us. And that scripture says, "Children, obey your parents. Fathers, do not exasperate your children." But the order doesn't matter. We don't wait on our children to obey before we focus on not exasperating them and before we build them up and raise them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We don't wait for them to obey. We take the initiative. God didn't wait on us. He didn't wait for us to get good. Romans 5:8 says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And if that's the way God treats us, we better treat our kids like that. We better take the initiative. So how do we do it? There's on your outline, we're going to play some fill-in-the-blank here. First blank of the fatherhood do-nots. Do not be critical. Do not be critical of your kids. They may not know any better. I read a story recently of a father. He had two little boys, and he went to visit a guy, and they're standing outside this building, and on the building there's an embankment that goes up to the building, and there's a sign in the yard that says, "Stay off the embankment." And this dad is talking to this man, and while he's talking, his two kids go over on the embankment and start playing and stuff. And so finally the dad gets over there and grabs the two and just undresses them, just lays into them. And through the tears of one of those little boys, the little boy's going, "Dad, I'm sorry. What's an embankment?" Your kids may not know what you're talking about. You've got to make sure they understand that. The next one is, do not be over strict. A gentle and firm hold keeps control. If it's too tight, you strangle them. What happens if it's too loose? They can slip away. Next one, do not be irritable. Don't take your frustrations out on your kids. And I'm talking to me. Dick, don't take your frustrations out on your kids. It's not a good example. And when you fail, and when I fail, we are to go to our kids and we are to get down on their level and say, "You know what, son? I'm so sorry. I'm sorry the way I treated you. God wasn't pleased with it and I'm ashamed of it. I'm sorry that I did that and I hope you can forgive me." You need to repent and make it right with your children. Next one is, do not be inconsistent. When you have changing rules, you're training your kids to be gamblers. They're rolling the dice. They're insecure because they can't trust the boundaries. And then the last do not is do not show favoritism. You need to treat each child differently as they're molded in the image of God, but don't show favoritism. So what can you do? The first do is do discipline. Now the first thing that comes to mind is punishment, discipline. I'm going to discipline my kids because they did something wrong. That's not what discipline means. Discipline means training, instruction, correction, and it includes punishment. But discipline isn't just punishment. It's not just punishment. It includes instruction as well. Next one, do be tender. Need to be gentle. Use soft words. Tenderness is actually a sign of a strong man. Next, you need to instruct. We need to be intentional about teaching our kids. We need to look for those teaching moments, teaching them about faith, teaching them about life. And then finally, do love your wife. There's no greater example of love than sacrificial love that you see in marriage. And that's an example that you can live out that your kids more than it's caught than taught. Because marriage is a practice field for us to practice sacrificial love, to practice the love that Christ showed us, where He gave Himself up for us. Parenting, on the other hand, is a means that we can begin to comprehend how much God loves us. On February 16th, 1991, almost 20 years ago, another couple weeks, at the corner of Highway 26 and 69, pouring down rain, 10:39 in the morning, 1985 Honda Civic, I pulled off the side of the road because it was at that point I realized what Christ did for me. And I received His forgiveness at that very point. My soul was changed, my eternity was changed. And I realized what God did for me in sending Christ to die on that cross. But it wasn't until about 5 months later, July 21st, 1991, where I really learned how much God loves us. Began to comprehend that, oh my gosh, that is mind-blowing love that God has for us. When our baby, our first of three precious sons, was born. And I stood in that hospital room and I watched mom give birth. And this boy came out. And as blue and slimy and gnarled as he looked, I instantly understood how much God loved me. This kid didn't know who I was, hadn't done anything to deserve my love, hadn't shown me any love first for me to love him back, but I was willing to die for him. I knew what it meant to how much God loves me. I learned that just from watching a baby be born. I was willing to die for him. Thank goodness so far up to today I haven't had to. That's not true for God, is it? God saw us. His heart just overflows with love and He says, I can't go on without you. I got to make amends. I'm willing to die for you. And He went that step. Christ came and died so that we could have life. Jim Dobson from Focus on the Family put it this way. According to the Christian values that govern my life, my most important reason for living is to get the gospel safely in the hands of my children. Of course, I want to place it in as many other hands as possible. Nevertheless, my number one responsibility is to evangelize my own children. I hope millions of other fathers agree with that ultimate priority. We do need to evangelize our children. We do that by the way we live and by the way we talk to them and by the way we raise them in the training and instruction of the Lord. How many of us believe in prayer? How many believe prayer actually, truly, really works? And then the next question is kind of like the commercial. You go, really? Really? Do we believe in it? You know, it's a harsh reality to know that most likely you are one of the very few people on the planet that will pray regularly for your child. And if prayer is so important, and you're the priest, you're standing in the gap for your children, how critical is it that we be on our knees on behalf of our kids? If we're one of the very few on this planet that will pray regularly for them, we need to let our kids hear us pray for them, pray over them. Let your kids hear you pray for their spouses. Even if they're 12 years old, pray for their spouses, for their kids, for their jobs and their dreams. And let them hear you. Because remember, you are God to them. And when they see that's important to you, they're going to connect the dots and they're going to say, that's important to God. That's a way that I think I want to go. Now I want to introduce our youngest 12-year-old, Connor. Come on in, buddy. Con man, come on up here. This is Connor Sanborn. He is our youngest son. He's a 12-year-old. When I got this assignment to be able to talk about this a couple months ago, it wasn't quite a couple months ago, but when I got it and he heard that I was, come on up. When he heard I was going to talk about this, he said, I got something I want to say. I didn't go to him and say, you know, what do you think? He said, you're talking on that? I want to talk. And so I want to give him the microphone, and he's got something that he wants to read that is all his. It's not edited. It's not anything, has nothing to do with me. It's all for him. This is one of the guys. You've heard me talk before about our sandwich making ministry, and when we make sandwiches and we pray over them before we bring them in, this is one of the prayer warriors that goes over it. So here's Connor. Yep, you're on.
Men, to have a certain and committed Christian family, you need to commit to God that He is your Savior. One of the things is you need to appreciate your wife. If you don't know how much she does for you, figure it out. But if you're divorced, still love her for what you had when you were an item. And others, appreciating your children. If their grades are sliding, make them study every night, make them do extra homework. Do whatever it takes for the grades to be maintained. And to be a great Christian family, you need good grades from them. Another with children. If they don't love you for the hard work that you do, explain to them that they don't need to be nagging you all day with taxes and their school and your job on your back. They need to be informed about how good they have it made. And if you don't realize that they don't love you, you're still going to love them for no matter what they do. Yeah, you can punish them, but God would never stop loving you. So there's no reason to stop loving on your children or your wife, and no reason to stop loving our Lord Jesus. If you want to have an honest and good life down on earth, you have to commit to God saying, I don't want to live in the shadows. I want to be with you. I want you to help me on this financial adventure and offspring challenges and spouse difficulties. I want you to make my life balanced and normal. If your life is not normal, then all you need to do is pray. Praying will take you to a whole other place and a whole other life because of praying to Him. And loving Him will too. But if you vaguely remember your past, when your parents, were your parents like what I said? Did they do anything I said? If they did, then you probably didn't get enough caring from anyone in your family. So, appreciate your family more often. And one more about, and actually, one appreciating, your job. Someday your children are going to get a job, and they will want their license, and then comes the car. If I were a father, I would wait to give them a car. Because if they get angry, they're going to want to run away. Take the car you paid for. I would be scared for my child to leave our home, our life. I would die for my son or daughter just to let them live and love their children. Dying is a big step of life, and I would do that for my own child. But since I'm only a child now, I pray for me to have a good life. But those four appreciating signals are the perfect ways to have a good reason. No, an awesome Christian life. Thank you.
Hold on. Connor. Stay up here with me, buddy. That's all his. That's all his. He amazes me sometimes of the things he comes up with and what his heart is. Up until this year, for the last 5 years, Connor and I coordinated All-Pro Dad's Day at Lafayette Park. And he goes to a different school now. But one of my favorite things about All-Pro Dads was we would get the opportunity, we'd pass the microphone around that breakfast table, and we'd have 40 dads and 70 kids, and the dads would stand up with the microphone, and we'd say, introduce yourself, introduce your child, and tell us why you're proud of them. And so I get to stand here with a microphone, and I'd get to say, my name's Dick Sandburn. This is my son, Connor. And I am proud of him because he has such a gentle spirit, and he's always joyful no matter what happens, and he has a willingness to help that you won't find in anybody else. And then we pass the microphone. And the faces of those kids sitting in that room when they hear their dad tell the world what they think of them, what impact is that going to make? When they can hear and they remember what their dad is saying to them and about them, to the world. Well, the Gospels tell when Jesus was out in the desert for 40 days. He's hungry, he's tired, he's facing temptation. Satan's throwing everything he's got at him. He's twisting Scripture to try and trick him. Christ didn't fall for any of it, did he? Why was that? He was God, right? But he was also human. I can't help but wonder, if you look back, the verses just previous to that, Christ was baptized. And when he came up out of the river, there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my Son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased. And then he goes out into the desert. So I got to believe that Christ had that recording in his mind, knowing that God was, his dad loved him and was proud of him. And that helped him stare Satan down in the face and win the victory. We got to do that same thing. We got to tell our kids that we love them and that we're proud of them. They need to know that because they're going to be facing temptation. They're going to get tired. They're going to get hungry. They're going to be vulnerable. And we want them to rely on their faith at that time. We want them to rely on God. But I want my son that's 10.5 hours in college, I want him to hear me in his head. When it gets tough and the face gets a little fuzzy, I want him to say, Dad's got my back. I want my other two boys to know the same thing. When they're facing these things in high school and middle school, Dad's got my back. I mentioned that it's kind of like a class where you wonder what your grade's going to be and how you're going to do on the test. And just over a week ago, I got kind of a grade card. My grades are going to keep coming in over time. I'm getting an A, right? Yeah, okay. A plus? But I got a grade card. Part of the being in our son's ears about how much I love them and how proud I am of them, I get to tell Connor and Parker, our high school sophomore, I get to tell them that every morning and every night. I love you. I pray for you. I'm proud of you. Our other son, I send him an email every day. And just kind of tell him what's going on. You know, this did that. Grandma's doing like that. And I close it with a prayer. And I pray over him through email. He hardly ever replies. But he did about a week and a half ago. And I want to read you what he said. This is a great card. Dad, I'm doing great. It's nice to be back, but I really do miss home a lot. A lot more than I thought I would. I will pray for Grandma and that everything goes smoothly. Also, I've been thinking about starting to try and be a better Christian. I know that I go to church and everything, but I want to get deeper and try to have a stronger relationship with Christ. And I just wanted to tell you how special and important you are to me. You are always there for me and love me no matter what I do. I cried tonight just thinking about it. I miss you a ton because we could talk about anything and how you are such an awesome person. I want to be just like you someday. You're my best friend, Dad. I miss you and love you a ton. I'm not reading that out of pride, because I am humbled that I could have a relationship that started 19 years ago with a blue, slimy, little, gnarled, little bean, and to turn into something that can type a note like that. But that should, I want that to be an encouragement, that day by day by day by day is how we do it. Luke 2:52 says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Isn't that what we want for our kids? Wouldn't you want your neighbors or your kids' employers or your friends or your relatives to say, man, that boy, he is wise. And boy, he's grown up and he is a godly man and he treats his friends right. And so the scripture that I like to keep out front is 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth. That is a great card we can all be proud of and love to have. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much, God, that you father us in the ideal way. God, you father us in a way that we can follow your example and that you can lead us, Lord, where we can have relationships with our kids and our kids can go out and be a blessing to you and help enlarge your kingdom, God, that they will serve you and that you are not a religion, but you are a relationship. Thank you so much, God, for loving us, that you went the extra distance to send your son to die for us. Help every one of us to respond in our heart, God, to realize that you've forgiven our sin and to comprehend how much you love us. Thank you, O God. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good job.